Hello and welcome back to another episode of everybody's favorite family podcast, Raising the Revival Generation. And we have a very special episode for you because we are covering...
All right, 10 habits for a spiritually healthy home.
10 habits for a spiritually healthy home.
Spiritually healthy home.
Let's none of those weird Wiccans or the people that play with the bowls that make the sounds, whatever that's called.
We're talking about Jesus here.
We're talking about Jesus and only Jesus because he is the way, the truth, and the life. But before we dive into these 10 topics, let's do the house order, house cleaning, whatever you want to call it. Do whatever you do.
Okay, yeah, we'll
take
do
it, Vanna.
Well, we're on a lot.
This is so good.
Social media channels. You can follow us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on iHeartRadio, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, TikTok.
Amazon?
I said that.
You said it. Okay. What about what else? What other things?
You can also join our fellowship group, which is Raising the Revival Generation Fellowship, right on Facebook, and we post memes there basically. And you post videos in there sometimes too. But that's just a way to kind of get more inside content of what's coming up and all of that. And if you'd like to partner with this ministry, if you are passionate about discipling families around the world, or if you've been impacted by this ministry, then we would encourage you to just prayerfully pray about sowing into this podcast or partnering with us on a monthly basis.
So you just told them to prayerfully pray about.
Yes.
So before you actually think about it, and then pray that you should do it.
That's right.
And then do it.
And a link for that will be at the bottom of this episode.
I feel like that's like you just told somebody who's like...
It's probably like a double negative. Like, does it cancel it out?
Yeah. Don't. Anyways, if you want to sow into this ministry, by all means, you can partner
with us. This is our fourth time recording this.
You can partner with us.
It's rough.
Well, the second time, computer issues. The second time, I huffed in really big when I went to go open the intro, and it caused this an awkward moment.
Yeah.
Anyways... Stop living in the past.
That's right.
We're moving on. Mm-hmm. But if you do want to sow into the ministry, you can partner with us. There'll be a link for that. And so besides that.
Yeah. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, maybe we'll do like a little bio. If you don't know us, he's Jason. I'm Bethany. Not the other way around.
And wow.
We have a lot of kids.
Her pronouns are. Sorry.
We have a lot of kids. We have 7 kids, and we're getting there with cats. We have 4 cats, 1 dog.
What is going on?
So it's a zoo. One kid doesn't live with us, so she's married. But
we kicked her out at a young age.
But she's going to be mad at you for that comment. Anyway, that's us, and we are pastors, and we pastor in Metro New York City, which we moved here back in November, so not that long ago, just a few months ago, we moved to Metro New York City, and...
So when we say Metro New York City, we are not actually
in the heart of the city.
New York City. We're actually on the outskirts of New York City.
The city is very accessible to us.
The city is about 10 minutes away.
Yes.
But we're ministering to the 20 million people on the outside of New York City.
Yes.
9 million people inside New York City, another 20 million around the outskirts of New York City.
Including New York City.
So that's where we are.
Yes.
And we do stuff in the city, but that's for something else.
Right.
Anyways,
yeah,
that's who we are. And that was an amazing little short little bio you gave for some weird reason.
I just, where the spirit leads, I follow.
Sure.
Yep.
I agree.
All right. 10 habits.
10 habits.
For a spiritually healthy home.
Thank you for moving it along.
You're welcome.
With 10 habits. So the first time we recorded, we had this amazing intro. It was beautiful.
Was
and now we're
great.
Just kind of. It's
been like a little while since we've recorded, so it was like really seamless.
Nothing you said you weren't going to say that.
No, that's
but
not
here
that.
You go. Anyways, habits.
That's not what I said.
Habits. Habits, just so you know, it takes a while to build a habit. And that's what we're talking about. Or break a habit. Because believe it or not, there's probably about a million spiritual habits that you need to break off your life before you start doing so that's a whole nother podcast for a whole nother day, but we're talking about 10 habits, 10 things you commit to doing. And when I say commit, that means you don't do it once today and then miss a month and then do it that next day. And then you wonder why it's not working.
Yes.
Right. I did it here once and then I didn't commit to it. It's like when Jesus was with the disciples and he says, could you not pray for an hour? Like, we're talking about taking that step to pray for that hour.
That's a good example because I was going to use laundry, so.
Sure. I keep it spiritual. You do keep it practical. So there we go. Like, we balance each other out.
Yeah.
But like it's taking that, it's making the commitment to do these things. These are practical advice, by the way. They're not way out there. Here it comes. Every episode, you get hit with some kind of laughter. And I don't understand why. Anyway.
I was sitting there because I'm not like this in normal life at all. Okay.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So habits are stuff we're committed to doing these, and they're practical. They're not far fetched. Like, we're not telling you to fast and pray for 40 days like Jesus in the wilderness. No, I'm keeping it. You're stuck. We're not talking about fasting and praying like Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. These are real practical.
I was thinking, I was saying like, you complete me, and then I didn't say it. If I had just said it, I would have
been fine. What? Why?
Like, I didn't say it.
What?
Just like completely, I don't know. I don't know why I do this every single time.
You're not making any sense.
Every single time. Like, I never laugh like this, ever.
Okay, so back to habits. Yes. 21 habits, 21 things we're committed to doing, to faithfully do. With our children and just as individuals, so that we can cultivate a healthy, and I wouldn't just say Christian, a healthy spirit-filled household.
Amen.
Okay, because that's what we're really getting down to, the Spirit of God moving, the Spirit of God speaking.
Yes.
And I mean, we have quiet times or devotion times or Bible, what do you call it? Bible study times, Bible reading times. You
ever using like Bible study or like Bible reading times with our kids versus devotional time, because I feel like people get so hooked up on like finding the right devotional.
Yeah.
That they like, it's like baby food.
Yeah. And we actually don't use a devotional.
No, and we're not against devotionals.
No, we just read a couple chapters or a chapter and then we talk about it. And actually we have a Devo video that we make, how to start family devos, which is just me sitting in front of the camera reading. Right now we're going through the Gospel of Luke
together. No one's laughing next to you.
No one's laughing next to me. That makes me have to restart the video 10 times. That was funny.
Well, we started once for you, too.
That's because, no, we restarted the, it was the
you
very
You weren't first, willing to restart very, it until you started laughing.
It was the very first word. So. Well, that's because you would not stop. Anyways, before we get in too far down this road again, you complete me.
Thanks.
Anyways. If you go over to our YouTube channel, we actually have a How to Start Family Devos, and it's literally just me kind of going through the Gospel of Luke and trying to pick out little nuggets of truth, because that's what we did at first. That's how we started, really.
Yeah.
We sat down with the Gospel of Luke, and we didn't do a chapter.
No.
We did like a little section.
Yes.
And then we would pick out like something that was highlighted in that section as a family. We'd ask questions. We allowed our kids to draw. They would ask questions. And that kind of grew into like today, where we're talking about Ahab and Jehoshaphat, and it grew
it's
into
one
this
of my favorite stories
about
ever.
Hearing from God, about discerning of spirits. Because when Ahab brings all the false prophets in, they prophesy that the Lord God, the God of Israel, was going to give them victory.
That's right.
And Jehoshaphat had discernment, and he said, "Is there not one prophet of God in all of Israel?" And then in comes Micaiah the prophet, and he tells him the truth. Right. And so we got to this long talk about the spiritual gifts, like the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the gift of discerning spirits. So it grew into that because we started with a habit.
Yes.
Like it was really a spiritual discipline. Another way you could say these are spiritual disciplines. We're just using the term habit.
It would go from like just a few verses and our kids being nuts. You know, like just like nuts. And we would get frustrated.
Yeah.
Like, let's just get through this, guys. Like, let's just, you know. To now,
they ask for
and it's
more.
Not even about like kids maturing, because like we still have little ones. Like we have ones like the same age that we would have, you know, like when
Jaira
we started.
Was curling herself with green while we were reading the Bible.
And my chair and my blanket and me. So, but it's okay because she's currently the shade of orange because she also colored herself orange. So,
yes.
It's a true story.
She looks like Donald Trump.
Yes, she got in a fight.
Or an Oompa Loompa, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, she,
spray tan and booth.
All right, so let's go. Well, now I have to tell the story, though.
What, of her?
Yeah.
Okay. So we actually shared this at the other intro that we did that we're not going to use in this. So anyways, we actually had two stories. Two stories for you guys just to keep an update on our family. And one of them has to do with a habit that you need to break, and that's lording things over your kids, right? Like saying you always do this, bringing up things in the past, right? Like Bible... Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so God has removed our sins from us. God doesn't do that to us. Let's not do that to our kids.
Right.
And but I was joking, and I told a story about half hour ago, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were getting ready to come down to film this podcast, and we hear downstairs the commotion of our kids yelling at our cat. And they're yelling, Rima, Rima, and they hiss at it, try to scare it or whatever they're doing. It's banging.
Our cat likes people food. Like, she's actually obsessed.
She's a thief.
Like, she likes veggie straws are her favorite. It's weird.
If you ever watched Aladdin, she's like Abu the monkey that just goes and steals all the food.
But and she's like very well fed.
Yeah. She eats all the time.
Very well fed. She also eats the kitten food.
So. And the dog food. Yeah. And the human food.
Yeah. She's there's no parasites.
Fat lard. Stop eating the food.
Yeah. The but she's a nursing night. Mother. So we had to give her grace in that.
I have no grace for that beast. Anyways. So we hear all this commotion. We hear yelling, and then stomping and like running. And then all of a sudden we hear boom and this quiet. And we're like, uh-oh.
And the then quiet we hear, in our then house we, concerns
then we hear,
us.
We hear, Addie, are you okay? And then up comes Micah, and he's like, Dad, you got to come down. Addie's hurt. And so we're laughing at this point because we just heard all this commotion.
We weren't laughing that she was hurt.
No, we were laughing at the sound effects.
Yes.
It sounded like something out of a movie.
Yes.
Boom, crash, boom, doof. And so I come downstairs, and I said, I go over to Adeline. She's like, I was like, what happened? She's like, Rima stole food. I was chasing her. And I fell on a block. She's laying in the hallway, all twisted up like a press on. I was laughing. I got to admit, I was laughing. Once I found out she was okay, I started laughing. But then I proceeded to say, that's why we clean the house. That's why we said,
pick up the blocks and also
No, I did not say that. Just so you know, we're not that cruel. But that was that's a thought that some people have. See,
that's why you pick
if
up
you
after yourself.
Cleaned up, this never would have happened.
Right.
Anyways, the second.
But in all fairness, Adeline probably wasn't playing well.
No,
she might have been.
It was actually Zion and Jaira. Yes. And but then there was the other story of Jaira. And last night.
We have no one to blame but us. Well, actually, that's not true. We can blame our kids.
I take no blame for this. We have an issue
of markers in our house.
And then,
then
there's a whole bunch of parents out there that are saying, we do too.
Yeah. We have chalk markers. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep them in my desk drawer in our schoolroom. No one's going to go in there. But like somehow she always finds the markers. Not like the coloring stuff that's like left out in a caddy on the table. No. She goes through the drawers.
She looks for the deep treasures.
So she, actually that's a different story. So that's how she colored herself orange. That's not the story.
It's the same night.
I got mixed up. It's all happening in the same night. So she's complete. So just picture a child who refuses to wear clothes. She wears a diaper, but she refuses to wear clothes and she's just orange from head to toe. Like even her face, like she, all around her face. It's like a really poorly matched makeup.
Poorly matched, like jagged edges. And
it's chalk marker. And so she found like a butterscotch candy, you know, and they're round. And it was obviously one of her brother's, obviously. And so she grabs it and she's like, I got this. And she opened it and she started, you know, like running away with it.
Yes.
And we're like, no, Jaira. Like, no, you can't have that. Like, she's two and a half. We're like, you can't have that. And so she runs away and she turns around and she goes, and she shushes us and points at us.
And then I went to go.
And her hair is all wild.
And I went to say, you can't have. And she did it again. She went, shh. And every time we tried to say, give it to us, we go, shh. Finally, she did give it to us.
And we just couldn't hold it together.
No, we were dying.
We were laughing. We just were laughing. So
it was like, where did she learn that?
Yeah, and how? And so.
I don't think any other kid has ever shushed us in a moment like that.
She's like, you don't see me.
She's like,
but she did willingly give it up. So
only to ask for the other one that was the same exact thing.
Yeah, she goes, I want the pink one. And I said, no, you can't have that because, again.
So she settled for 8 M&Ms.
Yeah, she got M&Ms. So, and
that has nothing to do with the habits.
All right, so let's get to number one.
We just wanted to share
which
stories.
Which we haven't gotten to yet. Well, it's been a while. So.
Yeah.
All right, so number one on creating, 10 habits for a spirit-filled, spiritually healthy home. A lot of words. And the first thing would
be. That's like pray for prayer.
Okay.
Spirit filled, spiritual half.
Number one would be setting the example. So we're not going to talk about your kids yet. We're going to talk about
you.
And so.
Everybody right now, point to yourself and say me.
It's all about me. So number one, we're going to start with obviously the practicals. You know, you need to be in the word.
Yes.
You need to be in prayer.
Yes.
You need to be in church.
Yes.
You need to be disciple and discipling. Those are all like important things, right? And your kids need to see it.
Yes.
So that's just, you know, it's just what it is. You can't be like, kids, go read your Bible. And then like your kids being like, I don't even know if dad has a Bible. You know, not you. You have plenty. But it's the whole bookshelf. but, you know, it's important. And even like, so I... a lot of times I'll read my Bible on my phone. It's just who I am. And
you say it's a habit?
I would say it's a habit to read my Bible on my phone, yes. Well, you get like a streak and stuff like that on the app. Yeah, you get streaks and they tell you good job and it sends a reminder. It's good, especially if you're a little bit on the ADHD side. It's good. And so, but I usually try to make it a point when I'm reading my Bible on my phone to say it to the kids, like if they're trying to talk to me or whatever, be like, hold on, like I'm reading my Bible, so it's not like I'm just on my phone. I want my kids to know that like I'm in God's word, even if I'm reading it on my phone. So if you don't like Bibles on the phone or reading the Bible on the phone, I don't care. So Nanya, I don't want to hear comments.
You thought people would be mad that you read your Bible on your phone?
Well, people are like that.
Well, some people, they probably don't read their Bible at all.
That's true.
Let's be honest. Oh, sorry. None of you guys.
But it goes beyond.
You guys are awesome and doing wonderful.
It goes beyond
we love you.
Just, you know, reading your Bible, and those, it also is who you are in private.
Yes.
Who your kids see.
Yes.
That's important.
Yeah, no, that's 100% accurate.
Yeah.
And just to kind of go off of that, we actually started another YouTube playlist or channel, not channel. It's underneath channel. Raising the Revival Generation, but it's a new playlist that's geared at helping parents train the child in the way they should go.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a question about that in a former episode, and we wanted to take a time, and we go through like a 8-minute video of practical ways to help you train your child. And one of them that we said is be the example.
Right.
But not just in like reading the Bible and just not just like here's dad reading his
it's
Bible.
Not just an action.
But also it is an action.
It's not just an action. It's also just in character. It's
yeah, that's what I was getting at. So like, if you want your kids to show the fruit of the spirit or be like, then you need to actually show the fruit of the spirit to them. And how do we do that? It's the way we respond to them. It's the way we treat them. It's the way we act with them. Like, so the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And like, if you want your kids to operate in those things, then you have to actually set the example for them. Like when Paul tells the Corinthian church, not Timothy, he says, follow me as I follow Christ, right? Mm-hmm. He's setting the example. He's showing this is what it looks like. Like if you think about like babies, right? They have to learn everything. Even like with schooling, like we do, to read.
Yeah.
They have to learn how to do how to say the syllables was big today.
Yep.
And the sounds that they make, a Q and a U going together. What sound does that make to make the word? And in English, it's extra hard because then you start throwing vowels together. And
well, English is extra hard because half the time it doesn't make sense. So
yeah. So like, anyways, but that's a whole nother thing. But like, as you're doing that, you're training them how to do it by showing them.
Right.
You're making the sound and they're repeating it after you.
Well, how do you raise good readers? You read to your kids.
And it's the same thing with spiritual things. Right. As if you want your kids to be spiritually grounded, then you yourself need to be spiritually grounded and show them how. Show them your that the Bible is important to you. Allow them to hear you pray,
right?
Now you made a joke before about me that everybody hears me pray because I'm loud.
Yeah,
but it's just the way it is. And I tell my kids in the morning when I'm reading my Bible at the dinner table.
Yeah,
because I do it there on purpose. I tried to do it down here, in my office.
You get distracted.
It was too quiet.
Yeah,
and I go upstairs and I sit there and I tell my kids like if they start fighting or they start wrestling or something and they start getting loud at the dinner table, I say, listen, guys. This is very important right here. This is important to me, and it's important because it's my relationship with God, and they understand that.
Right.
And I'm putting priority on God.
Yes.
And I'm showing that to them, so I'm demonstrating that. I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, because sometimes it's early in the morning, I'll be like, just get out of here.
Sure.
And then I have to be like, God, give me the
fruit. That's a good reminder, though, is that you could spend all day in your Bible, but you also like have to like display like character to your children.
You can't be like
an angry dictator. And then be like, oh, I'm going to spend all this time in the Bible. And then, like, you know, your kid's like, you know.
Well, because they see
you do something, they spill milk, and you're like, bah! You know, you can't do that.
Well, I mean, you think about all the kids, like the statistics of pastor kids. And
yeah.
And we had our friend, Pastor Sam, always said that he would always go to pastor's kids. And, like, he'd always make a note of honoring them if they're still serving God, because yes. there's a lot of them go wayward, and right. some of that's because of the way that they saw ministry happen, and ministry in the home were kind of two different things.
Right.
Some of them it was because the people at the church were so mean and nasty to the pastor
right.
that they're like, I don't want anything to do with this. And if that's you, just so you know, stop. If you don't like him, go to a different church or pray for him.
Yeah.
Pray for the man.
Work with him.
Work with him, yeah. And the Bible tells you to pray for your leaders. Yeah. Or, you know what, if he can't commit to all the things you want to do, pay him more. You'd have to get a second job. That's another thing that's in the Bible. But sure. that's for another day.
Yeah.
But because they see all the bad side of it, they go wayward. Because yeah. it's evident to them. It's illustrated for them. It's modeled for them that way.
Right.
And so as parents and as spiritual leaders and as the priests of the household, we need to model the right way.
Right.
The biblical way. The way that honors God. We need to train them in that. Then you think about on-the-job training, right?
Yeah.
When you go to on-the-job training, they don't just tell you how to do it and then say, good luck running this machine that could kill you.
Right.
Right? No, they have someone standing there who's training you, who's doing it with you, or yes. showing you to do it first, and then doing it with you, and then you do it.
Right.
And that's that whole follow me as I follow Christ.
And that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you can't be angry or sad, or if you're in mourning or whatever that is. Like, it's also valuable for kids to see, like, how you handle your emotions. Yes. Like, how do you handle disappointment? Like, you know, kids pick up when things happen. They pick up when, you know, you lose a job or like things like that happen. So it's how you handle those things that like matters, because your kids are watching, right? They're watching every move. How is mom going to handle this? How is dad going to handle this? Or, you know, and how do they treat the kids outside of that? And that's such a foundation for their life and shaping who they are. And,
yeah.
you know, it's one thing that we really don't like to recognize as parents, but a lot of time when our kids are having behavioral issues, if they're angry or if they're sad, or you know, a lot of times it's a reflection of us. And that's like a hard pill yeah. to swallow. That's difficult. And it's not always, but very often. And so, you know, if you don't like what you see happening there, you know, look here,
yeah.
look at you, and how can you resolve that? You know?
Yeah, how can you be a better example? How can you
right.
be? How can you?
Really, and sometimes it's just apologizing.
Well, that was one thing I was going to say, because like, if you're going to be the example in as a spiritual leader, you also have to be the example in forgiveness,
right?
Like so many times we treat our families, and I'm not saying any of you, but you can, maybe you've been a part of this or you've seen it done, maybe you have done it.
Right.
Let's be honest here. Where you treat your families different than you would treat someone who's in the church. When
yes.
when we need to understand that if my wife is a believer, then guess what? She's the daughter of God.
Right.
And that means that this is a little awkward, and this isn't incest we're talking about. That means she's my wife, but she's also my sister in Christ.
Sure. Well, and that's like almost a bare minimum.
Yeah.
On how you treat somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the same thing with our children. You got to treat them as image bearers,
right.
not as anything less than
yes.
than someone who's called by God, who God has a destiny and a divine a destiny. That's weird saying that word, but has a divine calling on their
sure.
life, right? Then you can't treat them just like garbage, and you can't treat them as second-rate citizens. In fact, you have to treat them. You have a higher standard, because you have to give an account to them. One day, I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to have to give an account for my wife. Does she still love me? Does she love God?
Right.
And the same thing with my kids. Do they love me, and do they love God? And
right.
a lot of that is a reflection of my relationship to them. If I'm harsh and I say, oh, I love God and God is good, and then I treat them like crap, or I neglect them, or I'm never around them, or I never do good things to them, then that's going to reflect back on God. Oh, yeah, he says God
right.
is good. But look at the way he treats us. Look, and it's really a lot of that goes on in their heart. Right,
yeah.
It's not a conversation to have. So that means, just so you know, and this is something I've had to do, and I try to do it even more, is that when I mess up, because, I mean, we mess up.
Sure.
In the way that we treat
yeah.
and handle things, I make it a point to apologize.
Yeah.
And so, because I don't want my kids to have animosity to me.
Right.
And I don't want my kids to have animosity to God.
Right.
Because just like it says that in the Bible, it says unity and love are the most important things, right? It says in Corinthians, when you read about the spiritual gifts, it says Paul goes through the spiritual gifts, and then he says, I'm going to show you a better way. Above anything else, desire to walk in love.
Yeah.
Because if you have tongues, you're just a clanging cymbal. If you don't have love, that carries over into the family.
Right.
The unity aspect carries over to the family. It's not
yeah.
like we do. It's not like the church is. It's the church is a family of families. So if you can't get the micro of the family unit right, the whole church is going to be messed up.
That's right.
And so we need to understand that as ministers, as parents, if we want a healthy church, it begins at the nucleus of the family. Yes. And that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast. We want the church to be healthy, and the church is a family of families. We want your family to be healthy because you are the body of Christ.
Right.
And God has great and mighty things that for you, and they're going to flow through you. They're going to flow through your family, and it's going to bless the entire body because you're a part of that. And so it's understanding that. And so do you have anything else you want to add to that?
Oh, I think that one's good.
Look at that. So what's next?
All right, so number two would be family prayer time.
Ooh.
You know, we talked about praying in private. You know, obviously that's important. It's an important thing to do, have an active prayer life for yourself. But also teaching your kids how to pray and knowing that they can pray in all circumstances. And you know, we've talked about this before. This is not a foreign concept to this podcast. You've heard the stories. You've heard the stories of the dogs and the prayer and everything like that. But your kids recognizing and understanding because you pray consistently together that in any time that they can go to God.
Yeah.
You know, it's an important thing. And you know, for healing or for finances or, you know, having a bad day or you lose something or, you know, that kind of thing, that all flows out of consistent time of praying with your family.
And I would even add on to that, like make the prayers real.
Yeah. And teach them how to pray in the spirit because they can learn how to pray in the spirit. Like that, there's no junior Holy Spirit. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when I talk about like real prayers, it's not just saying like, good food, good meat, good God. Like,
right, right.
I don't know. Like, thank now you, Jesus, I lay me down food. To sleep.
Yeah.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake.
Thank you for reciting the whole thing.
I don't know the rest of the words. Yeah. I will die of a bellyache. What's that? I don't know the last line.
I don't know.
But anyway, it's more than that. It's actually like teach him to pray. Like even if you're just doing the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Like the Lord's Prayer is it's a format of, I mean, if you ever go to church, sometimes they do the Lord's Prayer, but a lot of times it's a format of prayer.
Right.
Like beginning with God and our Heavenly Father, who's holy. It's that worship aspect of prayer right there.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of go through, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name.
Yeah, right.
Your kingdom come, your will be done. Like just say, like, God, let your will be done in my life here on this earth. Let your kingdom come through me. And you know, you just kind of go through that sense. Teach him how to pray, but like not just like the recital prayers, even though like the Lord's Prayer.
Well, sometimes like the pray, like when the kids pray, you're like, okay, and you're like, okay.
Well, these so,
like,
can just list off
like
people's
we had
names.
We had a kid and they would pray for like and even so and so, and we used to be like, oh my goodness, okay, yes, you can pray, and it'd be like, you know, this 10-minute long thing because they'd have to list everybody and even so and so, and then you know it came about later on that like God was actually doing a work and even so and so who we had just kind of counted up, you know, like, well, I don't know if that's going to happen, buddy, you know? And so
That childlike faith.
And he was persistent in his praying, you know?
And it's taken effect.
It did. Yeah.
The God, prayers of a righteous 5-year-old availed much.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, sometimes you can be like, okay, but don't squash them, you know? And if they're just like, you know, and I pray for my crayon and my toe and, you know, this and this. Again, model to them how to pray and what to pray for, because you will. You'll hear it from your kids. You know, we hear it from our kids, even our little ones. So,
yeah. And when I talk about like, don't just do the recital prayers, but like, because really what you're teaching them is that they can go to God for anything.
Right.
So if there's an issue that they have, you can bring that to God and ask. I don't know, ask God for comfort, ask God healing, whatever it is, provision, like bring them into those prayers.
Yeah.
Because those are the things that God says. He's, like when he talks about casting your cares, teach them to cast their cares on God.
Right.
Teach them to go to God like when it says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it. When there's times of trouble, we can run to God. So let's pray that.
Right.
You know, and the God's will, like I said, being done through us.
Mm-hmm.
Provision, give us this day our daily bread, like even temptation.
Yeah.
Right. He says, deliver us from evil, lead us not into temptation. I said that backwards. But teach them how to pray those things in a way that they understand it.
Right.
Because that's revealing how they can go to their Heavenly Father. And so that's number two is set up family prayer time and lead them in that.
Yes.
And teach them and train them. That's what you can do. You can do on the job training is what it is.
Right.
And so.
All right. And then number three just goes right into is just your family Bible time. And this is really, really vital. We used to. A long time ago, we used to be like, hey, go read your Bible. And, you know, you'd have this 8-year-old being like, oh, okay. And they'd be like, and that's daughters. Oh, my goodness. You know, like, what is this?
That was a real conversation.
That's a real life thing. And so, and and don't miss, like, what I'm saying. Like, it is your children absolutely, you know, especially when they hit an age, should be reading God's word on their own. Like, yes.
I can't wait until we read Song of Solomon and it talks about breasts, because I know all the boys are going to be breasts.
Her nose. Yeah. We're gonna wait for that one. We're gonna wait for that one until they're teenagers. It'd be way better. But anyway, you know, but when we read God's word as a family, we're teaching them how to read God's word on their own, which is sometimes, I think, something that families miss a lot of times. And especially if you're a homeschooler, and I know it's not a homeschooling podcast, but you know, be like, okay, well, how can I include this in school? I'm gonna give them a devotional. They're going to read God's, they're going to like read it, and like, and then they'll be like 15 and you'll be like, oh, I don't know, like, why my kid doesn't want to go to church, or I don't know.
Don't make it a part of school. Make it something special.
No, don't do that.
It's something special.
It's something separate.
The word of God that we're going through.
Now, we'll do biblical history.
Yep.
Yeah. But not studying God's word. That's separate. That's not separate. School.
Yeah.
And you don't want your kids associating God's word with school. Like, don't do that.
Because, well, then they'll just only take it as education.
Yes.
And not application, right. And not transformation.
Yes.
Yeah. And one thing I was thinking about that is just realize for some of you out there, your kid's not a theologian.
Right.
He's not, some of them are, they're not going to understand major concepts that maybe you have because you read a book about it.
Right.
And that's where you come in as a teacher, as
so,
a
like,
shepherd.
Don't start in Romans.
Well, unless, yeah. Anyway,
I'm not saying don't read Romans. I'm saying don't start in Romans.
But what I'm saying is, like, you have to communicate on their level.
Yes.
And so that means sometimes you have to take big concepts and you have to break it down to them so that they can understand. Like, even when,
and if you don't understand it, that's okay too, because you're learning as you go. And that's like, if you haven't read that book or you don't know that story, that's okay. Like, you're learning together. I was going to just say, you'll see, like, as the Spirit leads, like, as you're, like, reading through. Because there are so many times, like, we'll read things and, like, something's revealed. And a lot of times when something's being revealed to us, the kids will be like, well, what does that mean? Because they pick up right on it. They're, like, right in there as we are, you
and
know,
sometimes
with it.
They pick up things because we've been doing it so long.
Yeah.
Like I said, we started with just reading, like, a chunk of Luke.
Yep.
Like not even a whole chapter. It's like the first, when it was divided up in the Bible.
Yes.
That's how we read it. And we would just look for those little nuggets. And like I said, if you go over to our How to Do Family Devos, we kind of go through that a little bit.
Right.
Just kind of going through it with you, just saying, reading it and then saying, this is a nugget where we can stop and share this with our kids. But even today, like when we were doing our family devotions and we're talking about Jehoshaphat and Ahab, right? In that moment.
Jay Fatty.
In that moment, we stopped. Because when a Jehoshaphat goes to Ahab and they're getting ready to go to war for Ramoth-Gilead, right? And Jehoshaphat says, "Well, do you have any prophets that can prophesy and see what the Lord says?" And Ahab gets all the bad prophets and he lines them up.
Yeah.
And they start prophesying, but they start prophesying about the God of Israel, saying, like, God will give you victory. And Jehoshaphat says, "Do you not have any prophets of God anymore?"
Because Jehoshaphat knew God for himself.
And what I asked was, we stopped there because we've also been learning about spiritual gifts.
Yes.
At our church's Bible study, which we lead.
Yeah.
But I stopped and I said, "What gift did he just operate in?" And they all knew.
Yeah.
They said, "Oh, that's discernment. Yeah. He just discerned what spirit those prophets were prophesying out of."
Right.
And then the prophet that comes and tells them the truth. Micaiah says, "Well, the lying spirit was sent to all these other people."
Yeah,
and it was right on. They were right.
Right.
But that's not something they would have grasped at the very beginning.
Right.
It's as we've done this. How many years now? A year, two, three.
Really consistently.
Yeah, like we've done it in the past, but this is like this.
Yeah.
And so, you'll see. Not only did we grow in the passages that we read, we went from reading like 10 verses to reading 2 chapters now because the kids ask for more.
Right.
But you also see the spiritual growth.
Yes.
And you see that. And just so you know, with our kids, I'm always amazed, and I'm not bragging because I love my kids. They're good. Is that our kids, when they wake up, because we've done this with them, is before we do devotions, before they get out of bed, they've already read the Bible.
Right.
That's an amazing thing. Like, Adeline and Lila, they wake up and the very first thing they do is read their Bible.
Sometimes we're like, "Get out of bed." They're like, "I'm reading my Bible." And you're like, "Oh, okay."
Well, yeah.
And they are, because you walk in, they're like, what? I'm reading my Bible.
Yeah. And so these are the things that, like, this is a habit that was created, a spiritual discipline right. that they saw modeled. They saw it as important because we actually stopped the day as a family to get into God's word. So right. they're like, this is important.
Yeah.
And now on their own, we don't tell them to.
Nope.
They just read God's word and pray before they even start their day.
Yep.
And so for us, that's been a blessing.
Right.
And so anything else you want to do on family Bible study?
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a whole episode on reading God's word as a family. So you can go back.
We have a whole podcast.
It's like 10 plus tips for reading God's word as a family. So
that's a really good episode.
Lots of resources on this.
It's the best episode we've ever done.
Anyway,
besides this one.
Number four, and this is something that is vital and it's important, and again, that we've talked about on this podcast, and that is soul winning, or which is a word for evangelism, of leading people to Christ.
Yeah.
It is a way that your family can do what God calls all believers to do, which is share the gospel.
Yep.
And so, you know, sometimes it's intimidating. It's something that we currently need to practice more in our home. But your kids get activated and they get quick on it.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I had one in my Bible.
And we have tools. This is actually from the River Tampa, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. This is his soul script. And it's from Revival Ministry International. And this is an amazing and easy way to share the gospel, and it has it condensed. Well, it's
there
gone
it goes.
Now. It has it there for you. We also just made a video with that exact script on it. So if you're interested, you can just go to our YouTube and find it. It's on our TikTok too. But, you know, our kids are actually better soul winners than we are. just put that out there. They are better at it than we are. And I think that's has to do with that childlike faith. But imagine if your kids at age 10 or 12 start learning to share the gospel and do it consistently and winning souls. You know, where are they going to be when they're 20? Where are they going to be when they're 30? You know, it's an incredible legacy to give them. And it's incredible to teach them that, you know, people's souls matter, and it creates a depth of love for people as well and a compassion for people.
And with that, so like what we do, even in our Bible study and in the soul winning, is we've taught our kids a biblical worldview.
Yes.
And so they understand, and some of that's going to come out when we get to the media thing.
Yes.
But they understand the world in which we live in.
Right.
They understand what it means to be a Christian. They understand like passages like 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, where Paul's writing and he says, the world's going to be a dark place and it's going to be a hard place because people are going to be lovers of self. And he talks about greed and sensual pleasures that are going to motivate people to not care about people. He goes through all these different things.
Yeah.
But then he says, but you're not of this world.
Right.
And so we have taught our kids that. We're saying, like, when we do soul winning, what we're doing is we're bringing the kingdom of God to where these people are lost, they're bound, and we bring light, and it actually sets them free.
Right.
And so one thing that we like to do, because soul winning, it's important to go out, but it's also important to let them know that they're anointed to do that.
Yes.
That as you go forth, God, I mean, in the book of Acts, and I think it's chapter 4, where they all get together and after Peter and John get released from prison, they get together and they pray for more boldness.
Right.
And it says that the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that's one thing that we teach our kids with soul winning is it's a chance to say, like, God wants to use you as an anointed vessel to proclaim the kingdom. Satan hates it.
Right.
You should do it all the more.
Right.
But one thing,
especially kids doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's already attacking this generation with all the weird sexual things, the gender stuff. It's horrible.
Anxiety, depression.
That's an antichrist spirit that's at work in this world to take out the kids.
Yes.
Abortion.
Yep.
But I shared a video today that we had shared a long time. It's that when God is raising up a deliverer, Satan's always trying to take him out. Moses. When Moses came along, the deliverer, one of the great deliverers of the Bible, Pharaoh tried to kill all the babies.
Right.
So what happens when Jesus comes along? Satan tries to kill all the babies. But God has a great plan for them.
Amen.
And so they can be those deliverers that God is raising up in this generation. So you got to tell them that. You got to actually show them the importance, but not just the importance of who they are, but the purpose of why to go out. Because chains break.
Yes.
As the gospel. And so this brings up another question, because we had this whole conversation with an ad that recently came on TV. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is spiritually anointed and it's powerful.
Yes.
So when we proclaim the gospel, it's not just words that are coming out of our mouth. It's the Spirit coming along that's bringing the conviction of the heart.
Right.
So proclaim the whole gospel.
Well, I also think like we as a society, as you know, Western modern Christians, we try so much to make the gospel non-offensive, and we forget that actually the gospel is offensive.
Well, because it's that whole thing like where Jesus says, go and sin no more. There's a repentance aspect of the gospel that needs to be there. In fact, that was the last video that I did in our How to Do Family Devos. We looked at John the Baptist preaching and people coming to him and being like, what can we do?
Right.
You're preaching repentance. What do we have to do? He says that tax collectors came. It even says that soldiers, Roman soldiers were coming and saying, what do I have to do? And he said, repent. And they're repenting. They're turning from these things. And but that's why we love the soul script. Right? It's because this gives you the full gospel. And it's not offensive. It's a loving God. God is loving. Like, it's the first step of the 12 steps program.
Yeah.
Admit you have an issue.
Right.
Admit that there's a sin issue that needs to be addressed in your life so that you can find the forgiveness and find the freedom. And so don't water down the gospel. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't do that, because it's powerful and effective just the way it is, because it transforms hearts.
Right.
Doesn't leave them as sinners anymore. It turns them into saints.
Yeah.
And with that, one thing that we talked about with our church, and we talk about with our kids, is that it's the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And so if it's the fulfillment of the Great Commission in Mark, we just went through this as a church. We're going through the spiritual gifts. But if you want to see the gifts flow through your life and through your family's life, and if you're a pastor and you're listening to this, or you go to a church, then you need to understand that I'm going to read it to you right there. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, this is what Jesus says. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. Hmm. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. If they should drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will get well. Hmm. The signs follow those who go out and fulfill the Great Commission.
Right.
The ones who are actively doing it. And so just imagine what that does for your kids.
Yeah.
I just saw a video today. It was from Jonathan Shuttleworth's Sunday message, and he showed a clip of an 8-year-old boy preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And just think about the boy felt like he wanted to preach, but he didn't say anything. And then the evangelist that took him out to do soul winning in the street said, hey, you want to preach? And he preached the message.
Amen.
And that's setting that boy up just for a legacy.
Yes.
Because the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. Just imagine what that kid's going to flow, what his flow is going to be like. When the signs and wonders, because he has that childlike faith, he's proclaiming the gospel. And all of a sudden, someone's going to say, I'm sick, and he's going to lay hands on them. They're going to be well.
Right.
And that ministry that they're setting them up for. I think we've done such a terrible job of shying away from it.
Yes.
We don't preach the gospel, but we want God to move.
Yeah.
We don't preach the gospel, we want God to heal the sick.
Right.
These signs will accompany those who believe and who do these things.
Yeah.
So do them as a family. And if your church ain't doing them, then this is the perfect opportunity for you to step out as a leader of your family and say, you know what? Today, we're just going to go share the gospel with one person.
Yep.
And just so you know, I got this wisdom from our good friend, Danny Jarvis, who said, if they don't receive, then they're no worse than what they were before.
That's right.
But if they do receive, all of heaven's rejoicing.
Yeah.
So just remember that. That just clicked. We can actually make heaven celebrate by leading one person to the Lord.
That's right.
That's powerful.
Amen.
So that's all I got.
That's good. That's good. All right. Number 5. And this is an important one. And we talk about it a lot. And it gets people mad sometimes.
Taylor Swift?
That is one, but not this one. And that is make church a priority. What?
But I have wrestling.
Yeah. So make church a priority. This is something that is vital to your family's spiritual health. It is. I'm sorry. People get upset and they'll be like, well, we are the church, or I don't have to go to church. I can be a Christian. And no, actually, scripture says, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren.
Especially as you see the time draw near.
Yes.
As we get closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren.
Your bottom needs to be in church and your kid's bottom needs to be in church. And we have to stop making excuses. I don't care if you're tired. Fine. Guess what? Your pastor's family, they're also tired. I guarantee it. Okay.
Especially if they have 7 kids, 4 cats.
A dog.
A dog. And a lady that always comes to our house and rings our doorbell.
So, you know, you need to make church a priority. It is important. And it's a family.
Yeah.
It functions as a family. It is important that your kids are at church. It's important that you're at church. And so you have to set the example. You can't put work in front of it. You can't put sports in front of it or go in a friend's house or whatever. It should be set aside that no, Sunday, this is when we go to church. That's it. No questions asked. Like, unless you got a raging fever, and even so, bring them to the elders, have their hands laid on them. We know
a lot of people who didn't do this.
Yes.
And now they're pleading for their kids to come to church.
And usually it's when their kids hit teenage age. Yes.
They would do
anything.
Why
won't they go to church?
They would do anything just to get their kids to come to church. Yep. And so now while they're young, instill into it the
And if your kids are still under the age of 18 in your house, go to church. Make them go to church. Sorry, that might be controversial. I don't care. If they are not a legal adult and you still have that authority over them, go to church.
And if they're over 18,
and they live with you, go to church.
Yeah, go to church. You're the.
They don't live with you, keep asking.
Yeah, and pray for them and do those.
They're 35 and they live with you. Go to church.
Yeah, like if they're 35 and get a job, you, tell them to get exactly. Don't waste your money.
And being under spiritual authority is important. Sorry, I keep doing that. Yeah. Is important, you know, and even if you're in ministry or like whatever, we all should have somebody that we're accountable to. That's important.
And I would say this, tuning into a service online is not
the
assembly of the brethren.
Nope.
It's not the fellowship. It's not any of those things. I understand that sometimes people are handicapped or they're in a situation where they can't get to church. I understand that. But if you can get to church, you need to make it a priority.
But if you can get to the store, you can get to church.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. If you're walking past the church to get your cigarettes, you could probably stop it at the church. Anyways, sorry. But man, now you just do me. Oh, and if you're dreading going to church, by the way, then you're probably not at one that's spirit filled and lively. Go to a different church. Find one that has the Spirit of God moving, because then it's exciting.
Right.
Like, I'll say this about the church that we're at. There is people when they come on Sunday, they don't want to miss it,
right?
Because they're dedicated. They tell me this, and it's because of the Spirit of God,
right?
Moving, because I mean, once the preaching starts and people are praying, you can and the music starts, like you can feel the presence in a heavy way.
Amen.
And they come to church and then they leave and they're just like, I'm so encouraged.
Yes.
I'm like, I can do it.
Yeah.
And even people who have watched it online, they told us, they're like, it's different when you're in service. Why? Because when the assembly comes together, the Spirit of God falls.
Yeah.
Yep. And you can have an anointing word that can touch hearts through the TV screen, but there's a presence.
It's a difference.
When we get together, where two or more are gathered in my name, he says, I am with them.
Right.
And so when Jesus walks into that room and then all of a sudden fear leaves, anxiety leaves, and then things start happening, like you can't, that's important. And then I would go on to say that verse that we said, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren, especially as you see the time draw near. Wait, the Bible
The time is drawing near.
Okay, that was dramatic. There is the Bible says that there is a delusion.
Yeah.
Many are going to go along the way. If you're not in the church, if you're not a part of that assembly, if you're not being fed spiritually, you are easily going to be swept up in whatever culture says, in whatever kind of weird philosophy that's going around that seems right, but you don't know the biblical truth, or you're not grounded in the truth, right? Or your family is all going that way and you have no one to stand on, where if you were in a church, you'd be plugged in, you'd have friends, you'd have fellow believers who are encouraging you to walk that path. Like, you can be swept away in that thing. The church and the body of Christ is important.
Yes.
Because just as Paul says in Corinthians, like, if one part's hurting, we all hurting. There's comfort that, like, if someone in the church is hurting and we all gather around and say, we love you, we're praying for you, if you need anything, we're here for you, and we're going to walk with you through this hard time. How much ministry is happening in that moment? Right. Like, they're not swept away by Satan to just go down this way. Or, like, if someone's battling with addiction, to know that there's a bunch of believers who say, you know what, we're committed to you as a brother in Christ, and we're going to walk with you through this.
Amen.
It might be hard, but we're not giving up on you. We're going to pray. We're going to walk with you. How much ministry is happening to that person? Or how about when someone's celebrating?
Right? Yeah.
You get to be invited to the party too.
Right, man.
Right?
Yeah.
I think about that. We just had a conversation about a pastor appreciation. This church loves to appreciate pastors. They're very loving.
Yes.
And I love it. And they love our family too, which is very amazing. That's a good feeling when we get together and they just love us. But they talked about pastor appreciation, and they said, they were like, well, we do a pastor appreciation meal. And one of them was jokingly saying, it's kind of awkward. We're like, hey, we want to appreciate you so that we can eat. And I was just like, yeah, but that's great.
Yeah. Cause we like to eat.
We like to eat too. But that's great that you get to be a part of that.
Yeah.
You get to be a part of the celebration.
Right.
You get to be a part of it. That you're blessing me, but you're also blessed with me.
Right.
Like that's an important part of the body of Christ. We rejoice together. mourn together. We walk together.
Yeah.
We uphold each other, right? That we're one body. And Amen. So just understanding that. And if, like I said, if you're at a church that is just dead and dry and hasn't, and it's dwindling
no
down
joy.
To five people, and you don't know whether they're going to close the door, like find a church that is active.
Or pray with that church.
You could do that too if God's called you to stay there. But I'm just saying, like, if this is the trajectory of where they're going, they don't preach the gospel. They do more of a therapeutic gospel,
right.
or social justice. Like, get to a church where it's exciting, where Jesus is being preached, where captives are being set free, where healings and miracles, signs and wonders are happening, where worship is exciting.
Yeah.
Right? Get into a place like that. Because it's going to speak multitudes, volumes to your kids' lives. Like they don't want to miss it. They don't want to miss it. And then if they can get plugged in, like doing worship or whatever, or they have talents, like then do that too, because that's valuable.
That's right. And it's, actually, I would say even prioritizing church isn't just attending church. It's also serving in your church and being an active member of that community.
Yeah.
If somebody's sick, make a meal. Show up for things. That's a big thing. Show up. If you complain that there's not enough things for kids and then they have like this special kids night and then you don't show up, well, do you see the issue there?
There's two sides of that too, from both sides, right? So you're trying to start up a ministry.
Yep.
And so you start doing the kids night thing. Yep. Then no one shows up.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, I guess they don't want this. And then the other person's on the other side saying there's nothing for kids, and missed the one opportunity where they could actually go and show their support, and now they missed out on it forever.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, show up for things, be there, be a part, and, pray, be a part of the prayer teams and the, and what's happening, just be a part of it. Don't just they don't do this and they don't do that. No, shut up. Close your mouth, because your mouth is an issue. Be a part of things,
Humility is a good trait.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So.
All right. Number six. And this is something, again, all of this, none of this is new here, but healthy media choices. Now we can talk about Taylor Swift.
We just put out a video. No, never mind.
Healthy media choices. Oh, my goodness. Filter what is coming in to your children. First of all, we're really big on this. Your children shouldn't have personal devices until they can cognitively handle it. Just period. Like, I don't care. Just don't do it. They shouldn't have unlimited access on things like Fortnite and Roblox and all of those things. Well, just stop.
So we had an incident on Fortnite. Just so you know, Fortnite, we thought.
Fortnite?
Yeah, where the kids said they shared the gospel with some random stranger.
Yeah. And they actually, our kids are breaking the rules, because when our kids play duos or quads.
Yeah, with their friends.
Or like three, they're only supposed to play with their friends, like their real life friends that they have. That's supposed to be it. They're not supposed to play with other people. We don't want them talking to other people. We don't do that. But I don't know how it even came about that there was some random person on that and they shared the gospel. And so we're really proud of them. But we're also like, oh, we need to have this conversation again. Like, this is not. We don't do this. And so our kids do play Fortnite. Obviously, we just talked about that. Right now, Fortnite or video games is only a weekend thing. That's it.
Occasionally on Wednesday.
Friday afternoon to Sunday afternoon, essentially. And not the entire time. So although they would love to play the entire time, but we don't let them play.
No, we take this past week we went to the park.
Yeah, we don't. Right, right. So, and that's something that we're still trying to work out, to make the best fit for our family. And because we did just move, playing these games gives them access to playing with their friends.
Can I also say with this?
Yeah.
Is as someone who plays video games.
Yes.
Personally.
We're not an anti-video game house.
So, yes. I love to play Call of Duty.
Yep.
That's my game. I try different games and I always find myself being like, these are terrible, or I don't have the attention span to play this or whatever. So I go back to running around shooting 13-year-olds. But with that, as a parent, I don't do that when I try not to do it when they're awake. Like during from when I wake up in the morning to when they go to bed, there's very little time that I would be playing a game.
Sure,
unless it's like I'm doing ministry at night and I might take
if you're taking a day off
or day off. But even then, I won't. It'll be like for 1 hour.
Yeah,
at like one or two or whatever.
Right, because they're seeing the self-control aspect.
Yeah, because I don't want to be sitting there and tell them they can't do something and then I'm doing it, or I'm neglecting them for this game.
Yeah.
Because guess what? This is, and the more I realize this, even more now, than ever is that children are a gift from God.
Yes, amen.
And if you can look at them as a gift and enjoy them as a gift from God, a blessing from the Lord, then guess what? It makes the whole house better.
Right.
It makes the whole situation better.
Right.
And so a lot of times if you can't see your kid as a gift, then there's an issue with you.
Yeah.
If you're looking to escape them or just get out of there, then there's something else that needs to change because it's not... I mean, you think about that. People who want to escape problems in their life, they turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol because they don't know how to manage it and they don't know the solution.
Right.
And our kids should not be that for us. We shouldn't be turning to video games, our phone, TikTok, whatever it is that might be that that addiction.
I use
that word addiction.
Sure.
To escape the realities of the situation.
Yeah.
What we need to do is create habits, like we're talking about, that make it so that they're enjoyable.
Yeah. So, and healthy media use really comes down from setting the example.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell my kids don't play video games while I'm on them all the time. Like that, that want to know what that made me? Right. A hypocrite.
Right.
That's all it does. So it's understanding that too. And also, and I was just talking about this with our sons today because they were talking about a show and it's not a good show. But they saw a character from it on Fortnite as a character, and they said, "Oh, that's an adult show," and I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa!" I said, "That's not we don't say that's just a bad show,
right?
Because mommy and daddy don't watch that, and we're adults. If I tell you can't watch it, then I shouldn't probably be watching it myself,
right? And that's something we put into practice. We haven't always put that into practice in our life for a long time. I mean, we watched every movie that came out, every horror movie that came out. We, that was like our thing." And so, sorry, bless you. So we put that into practice in our life of if our kids can't walk into the room when we're watching a show or a movie, we don't watch it. That's the standard. If our 8-year-old can't walk through because there's language or the violence or sex or whatever it is.
Crude humor.
We don't watch it. It's just not for us. It's not something that we allow in our home.
And that's made us cut out a lot of things.
I mean, we really don't. We watch Psych.
Over and over.
That's really where it's at right now.
Occasionally, we'll put on The Office.
I can't even think of the last time that we watched Christmas movies. We watched Christmas movies.
Hallmark.
Yeah, it's really changed.
So bad.
It's really changed everything.
Godzilla. And, we watched a lot of Godzilla.
And I would say movies used to be
the old Godzilla.
I don't watch that.
Godzilla.
But movies. Kitchen Nightmares. Although sometimes that's language. But
sometimes.
They bleep it out.
All he does is beep, 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 beep. If you had that on Angel Vid, you'd get 5 seconds of audio clip that you could understand.
Yeah.
And that's when he first walks in and greets everybody and when he leaves.
So we've talked a lot about music and things like that, but movies used to be a big part of our family.
Yeah.
Our kids have seen so many movies, every movie that came out, everything, that was a big thing that we've always kind of done in our family. And that's really changed. Since we've moved here, we've rented one movie for them.
Ninja Turtles.
The new Ninja Turtles, which was actually a good movie.
Yeah, I liked it.
As a parent, and we're always looking for things
We look up reviews.
There was
Christian
just one,
reviews,
there was
the
one
way.
Thing in it. There's one thing if you look at that flashes on the screen, it's at the board in high school.
Gay flag?
I wasn't going to say it.
We got to be honest with our audience.
Okay. There's a flag there. So that was one thing our little ones didn't notice.
Look, it's God's promise.
I'm not even sure that anyone even noticed. But otherwise it was a decent movie, which is they're hard to find actually. It's hard to find, and don't tell us to go on PureFlix because it's terrible. I'm sorry.
The kids
you might have one or two The Chosen's great. They do Owl Gories. The Chosen's great. We like the Wing Feather Saga, so that's a good one. But
I gotta say, there's the cinematography is getting much better.
It's getting there.
You're getting there. I remember when my mom wanted me to watch. Now, don't kill me. Don't crucify me on this because I'm still a Christian. She wanted me to watch Raising the Giants or Facing the Giants. Raising the Giants. Facing the Giants, which is a good motivational movie. I was just, Mom.
Raising the Giants could be another name for Raising the Rival Generation.
Raising Giants?
Yeah.
Then they all get slaughtered in the Bible.
Never.
But I was just I was like, the acting is just not there. It's not at that level of it's not good. Some of them are not. So in a couple scenes, you'll get someone who's really good with acting. And they all had the same actor. It's like Christianity only had one guy who could act. And they had to put him in every major role. Courageous, Facing the Giants, Flywheel, Flicka. Was he in that one? I don't know. These are movies that my mom was always like, you got to watch these movies. I was like, Mom, I'm never watching these. And I didn't. But all of a sudden you get something like The Chosen.
Yeah.
Where the acting is like
phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Yeah. It's moving.
Yep.
It's a fairly good depiction of Jesus. Now I'm going to get all the theologians out there that are saying like, but Jesus, you're taking the liberties. Mormons. We don't get every 24 hours of Jesus's life, just so you know. We don't get it.
Yeah.
So they do have a little bit of, it's like a narration of the
and
life.
And there have been salvations that have come from The Chosen.
But we all interject emotion into stories anyway.
And you
right?
all have a picture of what Jesus looks like too. Like unless.
Well, we mostly have the stoic Jesus.
The blonde hair, blue eye Jesus.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of... Whatever. But anyways, but you think about, like, when we read stories, like, as a preacher, when I read the story of David and Goliath, there's emotion there.
Right.
When everybody's standing... Why didn't any of the Israels respond to Goliath's challenge? It wasn't because they were out of covenant with God.
Right.
They had the same covenant David had.
Right.
But David was the one who said, I believe in God, and he acted in that moment where everybody else is pulling away. They're showing their fear, they're showing their anxieties, and they're running away. David's saying, God is faithful, and he says, I come at you in the name of the Lord.
Yep.
And he's going to hand you over to me because that's what he does. Or like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're not just caricatures. They're not just stone figures. They're people. They're human. And so that's why I say, like, with the Chosen, they show the emotional side of things.
Yes.
And so if you're a deep theologian... Please don't harp on me saying like that is not Jesus did not say that. Jesus didn't. It's some of it is creative liberties because you don't get all 24 hours of Jesus's life in the last 3 years. So
to rapid fire, when you're looking at media, right, there's a lot of things to consider. And I'm just going to
we're talking about
media.
I thought we were talking about Pure Flix.
I'm just going to share really quickly.
Who can sponsor this podcast? You can sponsor an episode.
Sorry, I said you're terrible. But
well, we love you now.
But things you can put into place or things that we've done is like number one, oh my gosh, no YouTube. Just do not allow your kids on YouTube.
We watch YouTube.
I'm getting there.
Oh, sorry. You said no.
I'm saying if your kid has a Kindle, don't let them on YouTube.
Oh
right?
My God.
Do YouTube is that it is on our, we have a smart TV. It's on our TV in the living room.
Yeah.
And even then, they don't go searching on YouTube. There's permission that needs to happen. We're there when they're looking for stuff on YouTube. And they're not like big YouTube kids anyway. So what they put on YouTube is what?
The Three Stooges.
I was going to say Dr. Rodney. So is it?
No, but they do put on
The Three Stooges, Dr. Rodney, Howard Brown, Jonathan Shuttlesworth. That's usually, or they'll put on worship. Or they have like these kids like worship songs that they put on sometimes, you know. So and that I mean that's
the
really
books of the Bible.
Books of the Bible. Yep, they put on those. Whatever hippopotamus song it is, and then we'll use it in school time. You know, we'll like look up videos and stuff like that. But that's really it. Or wait, sometimes they put on Raising the Rival Generation too, just because we definitely want to hear ourselves, you know, again.
That's both awkward and
so you know we're really cautious
and a joy.
in that. And then even like music. Like Adeline, who's 15, does have a phone, and she's had it for a year, and that phone is great. We were able to set it up on Google under a kid's email address, which means that we have full parental control over that. So any app downloaded, she has to have permission that, you know, I had to put in a password. Every website, I had to give permissions for certain websites, so she doesn't, you know, and I don't even know what she's... Websites that people give her much. She doesn't really go on websites, but you know, and
she
even like
to communicate with friends,
even like music, like she's signed into our like family Amazon. So we know all the music she's listening to, any of that stuff. And so, and that's important. Having an eye on things is important, and learning how to use a phone wisely is important. She does not have any social media. She has she's like a Google Chat, which is how she talks to her friends or Kids Messenger. And that's it.
And you need to understand something, is as we're saying these things, I'm pretty sure that some people are like, might be judging, might be thinking that, and that's okay, whatever. But you need to understand that Satan doesn't care how old your kid is.
Sure. Yep.
When it says that we say this a lot, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that no weapon's going to be formed.
Yeah.
It's saying there are weapons formed, and as spiritual leaders, we need to guard our kids.
Yes.
We've seen it where even in our own kids, where they start looking at something so innocent, like a Disney Anna and Elsa singing Let It Go, and then all of a sudden you get some pervert who has figured out the algorithm, who wants to do something sexual,
yep,
to a 4-year-old or have them see something sexual, because that's the way Satan works.
Right.
You need to understand this. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but it is against spiritual principalities that are behind the flesh and blood that do the sick, perverted things, yes, they do.
And look up the statistics of pornography exposure on children, because you will be shocked at how young it starts.
Yeah.
You will be shocked on how young.
And I mean, even with the games like Roblox, something that could have been set up so innocent to let people play,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden you get some weird pervert. I mean, even The Office made fun of it.
Yeah,
and they were right.
Right.
When they tried to set up that community,
yeah,
online community where you could buy papers, and then all of a sudden they have an issue with all the pedophiles coming on.
And we're talking from like poor experiences on Roblox. We've had this, like, and you know, like, we, it wasn't a bad situation, but we had like a I think Lex came to us and was like, hey, like, you can chat with people. You know, this isn't good. I don't think the kids should be playing this. And we're like, yeah, you're right. We didn't even know that this was a thing on this. We thought it was like Minecraft, you know, that they didn't have the chat stuff or whatever. But, you know, the other thing is like the amount of time that they spend in media, just in general.
We say this a lot, and we mean it 100%. Netflix does not care about your kids. YouTube does not care about your kids. Guess what? Taylor Swift does not care about your kids.
No.
As much as you might idolize her. Whoever else is out there, whoever else there is who's out there, they don't care about your kids, and they don't care about their spirituality. They care about the money,
yep,
and they care about the influence.
Yes.
Because that's the way it works. And so you need to understand that. Even in the celebrities that get to speak into your kids' life, for the longest time, I mean, we were kind of here and there on Taylor Swift until probably the last four years where we were like, nah, this lady is such a bad...
Because it was kind of innocent for a while, yeah, especially her older stuff.
Then when
when my sister was young, because she's 11 years younger than I am,
Romeo
it was like,
and Juliet love
oh,
stuff.
Like, it's very sweet.
It's sweet, it's innocent. And then all of a sudden it's like, look what you made me do. And then it's broken relationship after broken relationship. It's this victimizing of herself, that she's the victim. And then all of a sudden you have your little girls listening to that, and that's what they pick up on it, because it goes right to their heart.
If you don't want your daughters to have failed relationship after failed relationship, stop bringing them to Taylor Swift concerts.
And so understand that.
Yeah.
Understand that there's a message being projected. It's not just, oh, this is just innocent music. There's a message being just like the rap music,
yeah,
that talks about drugs and talks about alcohol and talks about womanizing. That's a message that's getting sent.
Yeah.
And so we got to realize that media, having control over media, is a very important thing. It's a safeguard. And it's not to be, and just so you know, if you're like, well, like everybody in the world is doing it, I don't want my kids like everybody else.
We don't care.
They're the world's messed up. The world is a messed up place. I don't want my kids to be anything like them. So if I can keep my kids from being anything like them, then you better believe I'm going to protect them from that junk.
Have you heard of the term, like, the Sephora kids, Sephora girls? Have you heard of that?
No, I don't.
So, like,
I'm not a makeup wearing transgender drag queen, Bethany.
So it's like, it was like all over like social media where they talk like
I'm
Sephora,
not the CEO of United,
people talking about their stories at Sephora, or like Sephora employees or Ulta talking about like experience they've had with like 8-year-olds coming in and like requesting like skincare that even 25-year-olds shouldn't use, making a mess, having really bad attitudes, being like really rude and stuff like that. And I would just like watch those videos and be like, I cannot relate. Like, I can't like relate to any of this. And like, I look at like my daughters, you know, my daughters at home who are 15 and 12 and a half. And I think like, this is like not them at all. We have like very happy kids. Like, they're just generally, even though mind you, like, we just had a huge life change. Like, we just moved to a place where we don't know anybody, you know? So like, but we still have extremely happy kids, you know, who are not rude or who don't go make.
And they like to be around us.
And they're not. And they're unique individuals. And that doesn't mean that they're wearing jean skirts and have their hair, you know, like they're not like, well, they might be a little kind of dorky, but like, they're not like social outcasts like at all. You would never look at, especially our daughters, and be like, oh, those kids are weird. Or, well, you might, but you'd never be like, well, those kids don't know how to socialize, you know, like because they're so secure in who they are. Like, they're such happy kids.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like that, like, we haven't dealt with those girls is like, even like self-confidence. Like, my daughters know that they're beautiful. They know they're smart. They know that they're like intelligent and funny, and that they have like just so much worth. And a lot of that has to do with what we allow in their life.
Yeah, and
they also don't feel like they're missing out. Just so you know.
Yeah, I mean, because they're not being into that influence. They're not told that they need to go flaunt their bodies to have any kind of value.
Yeah, and a big part of that is just keeping them off of social media.
If you go look up videos of the artists that your kids are, just do that sometime. Yeah. Your kids will listen to. Look up the videos and see if they flaunt their bodies.
Right.
Because that's going to be a message that's sent to your daughters.
And then to your sons.
And to your sons, too. Yes.
So, you know.
So you got to be aware of that. You got to know what's going on in their life. Because you can preach the gospel to them and you can have that amazing devotion life, then send them away and they could be addicted to porn.
Yep.
And or anything else that's happening.
That's it. And you might think that we're being blunt or we're whatever.
We are being blunt because we're not. Yeah.
We can't sugarcoat it. And just, you know, reminder, we've worked with teenagers for 17 years.
Yeah,
and if your kid has access to YouTube when you're not, like, around, they're getting exposed to pornography.
And we keep saying YouTube because that's the one that most parents just give their kids their phone and let them watch. It's like, leave me alone. Go do this. But I'm telling you, if Netflix is the worst.
Yep.
Because Netflix does, I mean, I remember when we were, not too long ago, they came out with that, 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
Which was
Lex was younger.
Yeah, which projected this story of of this person watching their life and all the misery that happened, and they killed themselves, and it's almost like they could see that them getting their revenge by how bad everybody felt afterwards. And we had to explain to the kids, not our kids, but to the kids we were ministering to, that guess what? If you kill yourself, you don't get to watch everybody mourn over how bad they treated you. Most likely, they're not going to care. Some of them might. If they're close to you and they loved you anyways, and if they loved you anyways, they probably wouldn't treat you like garbage.
Right.
Just so you know. But in 5 years or 2 years, they'll get over it.
Yeah.
And so, but understanding that, like what they project in the media and what they project in music and what the influence that it has on them, it's not godly.
Yeah.
In fact, it can do more damage, especially if you're trying to pray with them, you're trying to read with them, and they're going and seeing all these images, and those images stick, or the words. They start reciting those words. They do. And it sticks. So you got to be aware of those things. You can't claim ignorance when it comes to your kids because you're accountable.
Yes. And if God spoke the world into existence, words matter.
Oh yeah,
because words matter.
The Bible says every the power every of life word and death that, are in the tongue.
Every word, and so that includes what they're listening to, what they're hearing, what are people saying, you know, and any of that. And actually, this brings us up to number 7, which we can go right into.
Real fast. If you don't think that artists are influences on them, there's already news going around that 5% of the population is going to vote whatever Taylor Swift throws her hat into. And I know this ain't a Taylor podcast because, I mean, you can get Ice Spice, that girl that was doing the witchcraft thing. You can get all those artists, throw them in the same box. They're all this.
Even country artists like Blake Shelton, okay? Like, he's a womanizer. Committed adultery, you know? So, like, let's just call it for what it is. You know, we need to watch.
Leave Blake alone.
Sorry. All right. So that goes into number 7, which is boundaries and who has access to your kids. And this is a hard one. Like, this is I was reminded of this when we were talking about in the media, because like one thing is like our kids are 15 and 12 and a half, and they don't, and we've had really in-depth conversations. We are very big about open communication in our family, is that they don't have like this deep feeling like they're missing out from things. And part of that, I think, comes from the fact that their friends also don't have social media. So almost everybody in our kids' friends group does not have social media. And they did at one point.
A bunch of hermits.
Yeah. At one point, like, I remember Adeline had a friend with social media, and that was like really, really, really difficult because there was such a difference in that relationship. But for the most part, you know, they're a really innocent group of, I mean, I know kids are kids. Like, we're not like blind here. You're not like, oh yeah, but you don't know what your kids are really saying. Like, no, actually we do. So that's a big thing. Who has access to your kids? So part number one is friends, right? Friends, family members, right? Because you might have family members who are not healthy, even just like really negative or toxic family, you know, whatever. Who has access to your kids? Teachers, coaches, whatever. We got to be careful. We have to be mindful of these things. Who do you allow the say and the voice into your children's life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
Do you want me to keep going?
Well, I think it's very similar to the media use.
Well, yeah. It's...
And if you have a friend that's like a kid's friend that is like consistently hurting them, it's time for you as a parent to step in and be like, we're done. And like, I'm going to step in and say, like, if things are not changed, like, you go to the parent, you do the things, and then cut it off.
And be honest with them.
Yeah.
Too. Like, you, like, I know that we have this on here with the next one, which is open communication.
Yeah, right. They all kind of...
I would mold this into that. Like, we tell our kids...
That's number eight.
When we talk about media, we talk to them.
Oh, yeah.
We tell them why. We don't want them to just be like, well, mom and dad just won't let us look at it. No, we tell them. We said, this is what's bad.
It's of the devil.
But they're more emboldened. So when they hear people doing stuff, they say it too.
Our kids are really bad.
I mean, we're emboldened when we're on the mic here. But yeah.
Especially Adeline.
They don't give a poop about nothing.
No.
They'll just like be like.
She'll like walk past somebody like out in public and she'll be like, well, that's witchcraft. They're like, Adeline.
But like. But we have this open, like, there's reason, and if we tell them they can't go somewhere, we want to be honest with them.
Yeah.
We want them to know that we love them enough.
Yes.
And we trust them enough and we care for them enough that we're going to protect them and we're going to be open and honest with it. We don't just make blind rules and don't explain them.
Right.
We want them to know because, like I said, that also goes back to the way of instilling in them a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, and this is hard, is everybody, like, not everybody's good. Yeah. In fact, if they're not born again, they have this sinful nature.
Yeah.
That's, the Bible teaches that. And you'll agree with that. Like, if I said you're saved by grace through faith, mm-hmm. and like all my Reformed friends are going, amen, amen. Well, then we can't trust our kids to people with sinful natures.
Right. Right.
That's just the reality of it. They need to have a regenerate heart.
Yeah.
And there needs to be, like, we come from churches where the kids are, like, they said they're their number one asset.
Yeah.
And we said we need to treat, not asset, their number one treasure or something. Yes. I forget what they said.
Yeah.
But you need to treat them like that.
Right.
So that means you can't just pawn them off to anybody and you can't just have anybody step into their life. You can't let anybody be a spiritual insight into their life. You guard their hearts.
Yes.
And you call a spade a spade. Don't lie to them.
Yeah. That's right.
And so, because that... Like I said, that it fortifies the relationship that, hey, we love you enough to protect you.
Yeah.
And we also tell our kids, at any point, if they're at anybody's house, because we trust that person enough to let them go, and they want to...
Which is a big deal.
And they don't want to be there, you call us at any time and we're going to come and pick you up.
Which I have done.
And I honestly don't care if it makes the parents mad.
Yeah.
I'll handle that conversation. Right. That's fine. But these are my kids.
Right.
And I'm going to step up for them. There's...
And our kids have utilized that.
There's two things I would go to jail for: God and my family.
Yeah.
And I think both of those are biblical.
Yeah.
That's right. And so like, you got to understand, like, you got to be that spiritual head. You got to be that one who's going to protect.
Yeah.
You got to be that one. I mean, you see it in the movies and you celebrate that person. So be that person.
Right.
If it's moving you and motivating you to tears when you're seeing it happen, then be the person who is that maybe God's convicting you to say, like, hey, I need to step this up. Maybe I've let this person have too much say. Don't say, because I've let him gone this far, now I got to let him do that. No, you don't.
Right. And it might sound like we're like super strict and harsh. We're actually not. Like, we're a pretty easygoing family. Our family has, as we're talking about open communication, we talk a lot. There's not a lot of like yelling, you know, like we're just like a very like talkative, well, we're loud, but like we're just a very talkative family. We know our kids, know us. Yeah, it's why we're an Italian church. You know, we just like, you know, it's very, very, very open, but we've also like, there are certain things that, because when you hear of like these rules, you know, these rules and regulations, and you have people being like, oh, that's all this trauma or whatever. But like, there's also things that we've gone out of our way to make it not a big deal, like things that don't matter. So like, for instance, our kids' hair. We allow them to pick their hairstyles. We've had boys with very, 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 very long hair, and we just did haircuts actually, and one of them is automatically going to grow it back out. You know, like we allow like our kids to choose their hair. We allow our daughters to wear makeup and to express themselves with makeup. That's not an issue for us. We allow, you know, them to pick out their clothing and how they dress and their hobbies of art or, you know, the style of music, right? We do not allow secular music because we don't feel like it's a good thing. But if an artist is a Christ follower, we don't care. You know, if they want to listen to some weird thing, whatever, that's fine. As long as the artist loves Jesus and that's what's being
projected
in their music. And that's what you're hearing in their music and it's what you're seeing in their life, you know? So that, you know, that's just a little bit in that. I think that by giving those things, by allowing them, and like, you know, sometimes they'll come down an outfit that like, I wouldn't choose, you know, I don't love that or like whatever, but I don't say anything. I just let them
Well,
express themselves.
They're not walking out in like a bikini.
No.
Or like,
No, but there are allowances that we've made in our home with clothing.
Yeah, but I can't think of anything that's been like extreme.
Yeah. Well, I think other families would probably look at our daughter's clothing with and be like,
bell bottoms that they wear.
Well, no, like crop tops. You know, our daughters, they wear, they do. They, it's just how they dress. It's the style. It's what they like. It's what they're comfortable in. You know, just things like that. And so for me, I just felt like that was important, giving them the ability to express themselves and how they feel, and also not putting a lot of shame on them and things like that. And that's a whole different topic for a different day that we can get into if you'd like. So
let us know.
Yeah. But I think we touched open communication.
Yeah.
You know, it's important. Talk to your kids. If you don't know why your kids don't talk to you or they hide things, you have a communication issue. So if you find that your kids are hiding things a lot, there's a communication problem. You know, if you does, yeah, it's time to bulldoze it and start over. All right. Moving on. You want to do number 9? Hello?
Yeah, I was trying to find it.
All right. Teaching biblical principles and godly character and displaying it, which...
I thought we already talked about that.
We have, really. That I don't know like if we one, needed to add that.
Three.
Right. You get the point with that one.
Yeah.
Display it.
Don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
You put there, like, if you're going to teach them, like, oh, hey, these are the fruit of the Spirit, and then, like, you don't portray the fruit of the Spirit, they'd be like, well, obviously, Dad doesn't have the Spirit. Right? Like,
yeah.
Or Jesus tells us to love everybody, but then you look unloved, or you talk about joy, the joy of the Spirit and the joy of the Lord being your strength, and then you have no joy. And be like, well, obviously they don't have that yet.
Yeah.
So don't be a hypocrite.
Right.
But may I also say, earnestly desire those things and do the work in your life so that you can be the example that you want for your kids.
That's right.
You can do something about it. God gave you the ability to do the things that you need to do in your life, so that you can have a flowing spiritual relationship with him that overflows to your kids.
So I think by what we meant on like number 9 and like teaching biblical principles, like, you know, teach your kids to give, teach your kids to tithe, teach your kids to sow,
right,
teach your kids to serve, teach your kids to, I don't know what else.
When we talk about biblical principles, we're talking about things that are in the Bible that, I mean, you might not read a story of all the time, but like when it talks about give, like giving, when Jesus says give and it will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, right? That's a biblical principle. When it talks about sowing in Corinthians, right? When he says that he gives seed to the sower. So teach them that, like, they can hold on to the seed.
Yeah.
And it's not going to produce any fruit
for
them. And but they can sow it into the ground and watch it produce.
Now, one thing to point out is that...
sow it into the ministry or whatever.
Teaching on giving shouldn't be, like, the only teaching that you ever teach your kids. Because I think sometimes people, like, get, like, they harp on that. But, you know, we've taught our kids about teaching or about giving quite a bit. Our last church, we talked about a lot, you know, in our kids ministry. As we're launching this kids ministry, we're going to talk about giving. It's important. It's a biblical aspect. But, you know, on Sunday, our kids, somebody generously gave them like the little heart boxes with the chocolates in it. And one of our kids, we didn't know until like way after service, he decided to sow his chocolates. We didn't know. He put it in the offering. We didn't know. And so then he was like, oh, yeah, I sowed my chocolates. And he kind of just went on his day. And we're like, oh, okay. Well, then the next day or 2 days later, it snowed a lot around here. And our kids ended up shoveling the neighbor's driveway. And so then the neighbor brings out a huge amount of chocolate for all the kids. You know, it was a huge blessing for them and $30. Yeah. And so it was just like, you know, again, and just showing that like you give and it'll come back to you. And it was just a really neat thing. And we're like, why'd you give your chocolates? But actually we don't question when our kids give. We don't. We just, as long as like, if we'll be like, well, you know, did Laura tell you to do that? Cause we don't want our kids to give like feeling like they're manipulated or whatever. We don't want that. We want them.
And so you give like, ultimately you give something of value.
Yes. Right?
You're giving something of value to God.
And when you're 7, chocolate is of value.
Yeah.
When
you're so, like, if you
36,
have,
chocolate's also of value.
Yeah. But so like when you give, like for us, something of value is our money.
Yep.
It's valuable. We work for it. We save it. It's valuable to us. But when God tells us to give it, we give it.
I mean,
I've told the story about the watch.
Yep.
And we've sown other things of value.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given back in different ways. But when God tells you give, whether it's a chocolate, a Lego,
or
a Pokemon card or whatever they've given. Like we're teaching them the thing that like when God lays it on the heart to give, just give.
Yes.
And that's the biblical principle that we're teaching. But real fast, on the open communication, this is what I was going to say and I forgot.
Oh.
Is that when we were moving down here, we actually had a conversation with our kids before.
Yes, absolutely.
We had an open conversation. We said, this is what we feel God's leading us to. We want you to be a part of this story.
Well, we actually did it on different times individually with each kid.
Yeah, and we were clear with them. And we even told them that if things, as we get closer to the time of Jesus' return, more things are going to happen. And it's going to be probably a little bit harder for the church. But Daddy's going to preach the gospel no matter what.
Yeah.
And we just brought them in that journey. So yep. So if anything does happen, we're not closing the church down, even if they tell us to. So you right. might see me on the news.
And our kids,
and they're like go dad.
Our kids like very much like knew that it wasn't just like mom and dad are called here, but they were also called here. You know, that's something that they felt. And it's not saying like moving, especially when you're like, I think like when you're like 12 and 14 at the time, like that's hard.
Yeah.
Like that is really, really hard. Like I changed schools in the middle of my freshman year. That was hard. You know, when you go and you're in a place where you don't know anyone and you're homeschooled. So that's like, you just don't meet people as fast as like if you were going to a school.
You know, they like, have gone to those homeschool groups.
We have gone. We have. We're trying.
Yeah. And they're like, everyone here is weird.
We are trying. We're trying. And so, you know, it's... Now you threw me off.
Sorry.
Not everyone's weird. It's not a stereotype.
I don't want to because the kids freak me out. Why do you have that weird mustache?
Anyway, but that's hot. You know, that's a hard thing. And we were really honest with our kids. You know, we prepared them. And leaving was difficult. We had some really, really rough times. And our kids had all this change. Their sister got married. Then we moved. Our dog died. Then we moved. You know, that is so much change for when you're little, when you're young, to take on. And, you know, we just talked our way through it and had communication. And there were times when, you know, one of the kids would be like, I'm really mad about moving. I'm really upset about moving, you know, and like, that's okay. Like you can be upset. You can feel those emotions, you know, what are we going to do about it? You know, how are we going to process it? What's a healthy way that we can work through this, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
So are we ready for the last one?
We're ready.
Quality time. / bring your kids along.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before as well. Quality time. First of all, just spend time with your kids.
Yeah. That's a big
start
thing.
They are treasures. Your kids are treasures. You know, treat them like that. Spend and let them know that they're worth that by spending that time with them. You know, even if you don't feel good, even if you've had a long day, guarantee you spending time with your kids, you're never going to regret. Like nobody is ever like, oh, I wish I had spent less time with my kids.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you think of, just like we said that there's parents today who are like, man, I wish my kids would come to church.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also parents today who are like, man, I wish my kids were around. Don't blow it all off.
Yes.
And definitely don't treat them like they're not a blessing. But also you need to understand, and this is something that we do and that I've experienced in our life, is that as we do those things with our kids, it's enjoyable for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the fact that like we come home, we're tired or whatever, but then our kids want to go play with us or they want to hang out. So what do? You take them to the park, you play catch or something. That's actually rewarding to me. And it's actually good because I get out in the sun. And so the vitamin D helps with depression. So
Adeline wanted to play that game the other day. Of course, we were playing it completely wrong. Yes. And that was like the last thing that I wanted to do.
But it was fun, wasn't it?
I was like, okay, I'll play with you. And like we ended up having just so much fun just like laughing and playing together. And of course, Gyra was pressing all the buttons and, you know, Gyra right now. To be like, do you want to play with me? And like, you can't tell her no. You can't.
She read me a story.
And she wants to play Winnie the Pooh. And it's like, but you're not allowed to do anything because she has to dictate the game. So anyway.
She read me the Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Yes.
And it was like one sentence on each page, but I got like a paragraph. I don't know what that caterpillar did. At one point it was sad. It was cold. And all I know is about that story. That caterpillar was hungry and he ate.
Well, she always tells stories too, like about mom's missing. I'm like, oh, that's nice. But it's because she's obsessed.
Was she watching the Lifetime channel?
No, it's the Heffalump movie. Because the Heffalump, the mom is separated from the baby. So she's always like, so I had to play babies with her. And she's like, this is a baby. He's sad. He can't find his mom. I'm like,
oh. See the influence that they have, the media has? Our poor kid. Thinking every baby's neglected.
Anyway, spend time with your kids. You know, don't don't be so self-absorbed in your issues. And you might have issues. You might be in, I don't know, bankruptcy or like whatever. You might have issues.
You might be depressed.
You might, yeah, not have any joy at all. But this is your kid's childhood. Just think about that. This is literally their childhood.
But also, the changing of the mindset. Mm-hmm. So like, you could sit there and wallow in depression, wallow in your tiredness, and like things change. Or you could do something about it and be proactive.
Sure.
So like, you get up and you say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to play this game with my kids.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you find out that it brings you joy.
Yeah.
Right. And so what you thought was like just a waste of your time, or you thought that it was just, I don't know, whatever it was in your mind, or you just were grumpy and you didn't want to do it, or you're tired, and all of a sudden becomes a source of joy for you and your kids. Mm-hmm. And then your bond.
Yeah.
Because now you're just taking that time and you're enjoying each other and you're laughing. Mm-hmm. And if you could set up just that you had one night a week where you did family game night, yeah, right, that would be amazing.
Right.
Because that in that moment you're just having a moment where you're just laughing together. Yes. It's not cleaning, it's not school, it's not chores.
There's the pressures of the day.
It's just you guys being goofy, and your kids will talk. And have snacks. Right? Do things like that. Our kids love food. Yes. And so like we like to do popcorn with them and just do it. We do guys night, boys night every once in a while, which is pretty much just wrestling. Like, and they'll be like, Dad, powerbouch me on the couch.
Can we'll do like girls day. Like, I'll bring them thrifting, which is like their favorite thing in the entire world.
It's just a quality time moment. Yes. And so I end up being able to relieve some of my frustrations by power bombing all three of my boys on the couch, and they think it's just a blast.
Yeah,
but it's just in those moments, and you're building that quality time. They're laughing, right? You're laughing. I mean, funny things happen. I mean, I'm there was that old joke that like, it was like, I think I shared it on Facebook. It was like, all the pressures of the world go away when a baby farts. Just in the moment, because it just, it's like.
What did science say recently? Like, people talking.
No, you can't say that. He was singing a song, but he was changing the words. And it's from a wrestler. It's like, the wrestler song says, I hear voices.
Speaking of media.
They talk to me. Then our kids always want to know which wrestler's a Christian.
Yes, that's who they vote for. That's who
they root for.
Yeah.
And so he was just being goofy, and he was singing the song. He goes, I hear voices in my butt. They talk to me. I was like, what? He's in the other room singing this song, being goofy while he's playing. I was like, what is going on in there? But like, that has nothing to do with quality time. But spending that time together, it actually, what you find is it changes your heart.
Yeah.
And then you, it's almost like building a friendship.
Yeah.
It takes your relationship to a whole nother level with them.
Right.
And you're not just a parent, you're a friend.
And you get to know your kids on a deeper level.
You're more than a parent, you're a friend. People are like, oh, a friend. Well, can be a parent and friend. But no, your kids can actually like you. Believe it or not, they can enjoy you.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we've worked hard on with our kids.
Right.
And so like even at nighttime when we're sitting on the couch, our kids are coming.
They're
and they
always
still
with
sit
us.
Next to us.
Yeah.
Even with the girls, I wrestled with that. I broke Adeline's headset. I had to buy her a new one. I felt so bad.
But also, like, don't make your kids feel like they have to compete for your attention or that everything else comes like before them. You know, like that's a sad way to live. Like, just think about it. Think about your parents and your parents putting everything else above you. Like that's sad. That would make you sad when you were a child, you know?
It's a long episode.
I know.
That's okay. We're giving good insight.
Well, we haven't uploaded an episode in a while, so.
Yeah, so it's fine. You said you weren't going to. You keep doing it. But also, that leads me back to that PlayStation thing of when I set times to play PlayStation. Sure. I make it a goal. It's a habit. I'm not going to play all the time when my kids are around.
Right.
Because they're more valuable and there's things I can do with them. Even if it's just sitting there
in
the same room as them as I'm reading.
Right.
Or doing something like that. It speaks volumes that they have my attention. Mm-hmm. And how many times do they want to show me a picture that they've drawn and they want to know my thoughts? Sometimes they ask the weirdest questions. Sometimes they ask the same question 16 times. It drives me bonkers. But the fact that I'm there with them, it speaks volumes to them, and it really transforms the relationship.
And, you know, we're people who we spend a lot of time with our kids. Like, we are home with our kids. You know, you work from home. you know, sometimes occasionally you'll come down here, but for the most part, we are home with the kids. So like, we don't get us wrong in saying like, you can never take a break or have a date night or like, you know, like whatever. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like, if you're consistently avoiding spending time with your kids, there's an issue there, you know, yeah. And your kids need you. You are their parent. God chose you to parent them.
And which leads us to the second part, bring your kids along.
Yes, please. Right?
So many times what ends up happening in families is that the kids stay with a babysitter or whatever. And I'm not talking about just for date nights. We're talking about like services. We're talking about like things that are happening at a church,
right.
Soul winning, whatever it is. Bring your kids along on the journey. Yeah. Let them be a part of that. Let them see.
Let them be in the services.
Yeah. Let them to experience that alongside of you, to see, like, have your kids stand with you in worship. Have your kids, like, all those things are so valuable to them. It's one thing if it's like a meeting, like that. Okay, that's okay.
Pastor's meeting.
Yeah, that's okay. But for the other things, bring your kids along. I bring my kids with me when I'm running down to the store to grab like a soda or
right.
I drink the mango liquid death. But
well, and I think it too. Like when you like, and this happens sometimes, especially in like big families, you see it a lot. Where if there's little ones, and parents are going to these services or you're going to these things or Bible study or whatever, is that the older ones get stuck with the younger ones. You know, it's like a consistent thing. And that's something that we've worked really hard not to do with our kids. So like when God is moving and we're going to those places where like God is moving, we make it a point to allow our children to be a part of that. And if that means that we're going to step out, that's what we'll do. Right. Because our kids are that important. Right. Ooh.
And there's an idea as a spiritual leader.
Yeah.
I'm blessed by services.
Yes.
But I don't need services for my relationship with God. Yes. I have the spring inside.
And we're working on getting our kids to that place of not needing it.
Yeah, exactly. Not that we're not going to still bring them to like evangelists and exciting things. Right. But to understand, like, even as a minister, like, it's very easy for me to get into the spirit.
Yeah.
I don't have to go and do a long process. But I, because of my walk with God, because of some of the, like, even like, with fasting and praying and seeking God, it created this spring inside of me. So when I wake up in the morning, it's not hard. I can just be like, God, I thank you for your presence at this dinner table.
Right.
And all of a sudden I just feel the presence of God. And it goes from there. But where my kids, I'm not saying they need those things, because we provide the spiritual nutrition for them. We do the word of God. We pray with them. But it's a source for them too. It's like a vitamin, like a one a day. It comes along. It's like a supplement.
And it's something that gets planted in their hearts too, that they carry for the rest of their life. And in
those services, they can experience the presence of God. They can hear the voice of God. They can have a calling on their life given in that in those services.
Yeah.
And so remember the value of the services, just as they're valuable to you.
Right.
They're valuable to them.
And even just your normal Sunday morning too, because like for us, like right now, we don't even have a children's ministry. It's coming, you know,
coming in March.
It is in the works, but right now we don't have that. So like, it would be very easy for me to be like, oh, Adeline, you know, bring the baby downstairs. Oh, Lila, you know, go bring the baby home. Cause you know, like we live right here, you know, like any of that, like that would be like an easy thing for me to do, but I don't, because I want them in church. I want them there to receive. So if I'm going down and I'm listening as I'm going down, cause we have it piped in, you know, to listen downstairs, or that doesn't work, then I pull it up on my phone or whatever, then that's what I do, because like my children's spiritual health is that important.
It's vital.
It is vital. Right. And that's a way also that like, I'm the parent. They're not the parent. I'm the parent. So the younger children, that's my responsibility. That's not their responsibility, you know? And that's not to say like we haven't done that before, because we've definitely when we've had like week long services, like eventually like Asher would be like, oh, can I bring the little ones into nursery, because his attention span would be gone. Sure. You know, like that's fine. But, you know, we really try, especially parents of big families, because it happens, you know, a lot more, I think, in parents of big families.
And I guess a good way of saying that is, if you're working on your own spirituality and you're growing in your faith, then you're not spiritually deprived, where you're going to have to go to those things like a vampire.
Yes.
And just get the, you know, like you're not a leech at that moment. Like they bless you.
Right.
And they're not bad by any means. Because we remember the very first episode was about bringing your kids.
Yes.
To these events.
And you're seeing where we're at in this journey.
And they're, and they're really powerful. And we're going to continue to do that with our kids.
Yes.
But at some point we for ourselves have to have that spring of living water that's on the inside. We're not going to other people's ponds and drinking from their water. We have the source inside of us. You have the source inside of you, which is amazing, because as you're growing, that's going to bubble up, and then all of a sudden you're going to start laying your hands on your kids.
Yeah.
Not in not discipline, in prayer.
And let me tell you, like, it is so, like, it is when you are, like, in those places, when you're in a service or whatever, and your child is being touched and they are in the presence of God, like, that is, like,
I still remember.
That is, like, so powerful.
I still remember the first, like, when we brought Adeline and them to Tommy Zito in, mm-hmm. in Concord, New Hampshire at Word of Life. Mm-hmm. And they went up there and they started, and he prayed over them, and she got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yep. I just remember saying, God, this is what I've been praying for. Yep. I've been praying for this. Thank you. Thank yeah. you. Thank you. I didn't go up, but she went up, and it was just a power, her,
yeah.
Lexi, and that's yeah. why she got kicked out of school. and Lila, and they all got just hit, and yeah. Asher too.
Yep.
And it was just and I was just so thankful.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have, I as someone in that moment, I could have made it about just my own spiritual yep. thing, but I wanted it for my kids.
Right.
I wanted them to experience.
Well, that's what started us on this journey.
Yeah, we said that. We didn't want the Holy Spirit to be awkward to our children.
Yeah.
And so look how God honored that.
Yeah, that's right.
And so now we're here today just telling you,
yeah,
don't let God be awkward to your kids.
Right.
Get them into that place. Bring them to those places still.
Yep.
And let God's Holy Spirit just melt their heart.
Yeah.
And then watch what happens. And then what birthed out of that, I remember when we were at Lake Church and it was after the end of service, we had that like 3 hour just worship and prayer, just mm-hmm. spontaneous. And Adeline starts singing. Mm-hmm. And it was just like so spirit. It was after she had that moment. It was just so spiritual. It was more than spiritual. It was powerful.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the spirit was just moving and she was just singing in tongues. And it was just like, what is going on here? And it was just an overwhelming experience in that moment. And so there's a benefit to it. The same message we proclaimed in the first episode, yeah. we're telling you today, bring them along and let them just be soaked in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yep.
That's right.
And I don't know if I have Amen. Anything else.
I think that's it.
That's it.
You can't top it. That's no. 10.
Okay, that's 10. And so we want you guys to know that God loves you and God has a wonderful plan Amen. For you and your family. And he has anointed you.
Yes.
He has anointed you to do the jobs that he's called you to
Amen.
Do. He's
given right.
you grace to do it. So if you need grace, the Bible says to run to him in your time of need and he will give you the grace you need.
That's right. Amen.
And so do that as a parent. Do that as a minister. Run into the presence of God and say, God, I need your grace. And you'll feel the power of the Holy Spirit come upon your life. And you'll be able to do things that you never thought done. You'll be able to respond to your kids in ways you never thought. Mm-hmm. That you used to lack patience. When you get into the presence of God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's going to bring back, going to tell you, be patient.
Be patient as somebody comes down the stairs.
No, that was something falling down the stairs. They threw something down the stairs.
I thought it sounded like shepherd, actually.
No, that was something being thrown. Right? You'll have patience. You'll have joy.
I hope you appreciate the realness of this yeah. podcast.
Well, we had this dramatic ending and then do later. but understand that God can anoint you and he can transform your heart so Amen. That you can be a better minister to your kids
right.
and a better parent. So
right.
we love you. God loves you. And as a former Dr. Richie, oh no, he's still alive. I shouldn't say that. He's no longer teaching at the educational facility that I go to.
Yes.
But I'm going to, in honor of him, because I love him. God bless you all.